Breadbox Media Programming is brought to you by CatholicSingles.com is ringing in the new year with savings for singles. You can save 20% by using the promo code BREADBOX when you register for a new account. Come meet other faithful Catholics and make 2020 a year to remember.
Good morning from Cocoa Beach, Florida. I did something really bad yesterday. We've been watching Bishop Barron's program on Catholicism, Cindy and I. We were watching it last night here in our living room. And then all of a sudden we heard helicopters go by, which usually means there's a rocket launch. So we went outside and realized the rocket, a beautiful rocket launch had taken place, the first one of the year, on a clear, beautiful night, and we had totally missed it. So that's kind of not so good. So anyway, pray for my son and his wife and the people in Puerto Rico that had a major earthquake. The whole island was blacked out for a while. So please keep them in your prayers. I just talked to my son. He seems to be good. But it sounds like they're going to have a whole series of earthquakes. They've had 200 in the last couple of weeks. So be sure to pray for them. So we're... Good morning, Mark Cobb. Good morning, Jack. So we're reading about the two senses of Scripture. We're in paragraph 115. According to an ancient tradition, one can distinguish between two senses of Scripture, the literal and the spiritual, the latter being subdivided into allegorical, moral, and anagogical senses. So it's really interesting, all the different layers there are to Scriptures. So, I'm going to read it again. There's the literal, you know, you read it, and this is what it says, but then there's a spiritual application. And then there may be some, beyond that, there may be, like, for example, you may read the story of King David, and you may read about, those are the facts that are happened, and then you may learn some moral teaching based on that. On his life, his mistakes, and his good things. But then you may also learn a spiritual application. For example, David submitted to Saul, even though Saul was a murderer, etc., and was out to kill David. But he submitted to him, even though David had been anointed king. And so you learn there a respect for authority, but you learn, so you see the story, you learn respect for authority for the person that's been put in certain positions by the Lord, like honor your father and your mother, even though they may not be respectable. Honor our Pope, even though you may not agree with him. Honor our President, even though you may not agree with him, because they're in a position of authority, and we owe them our respect. But then there's the deeper thing, and that is that David learned submission onto the Lord too. So there's the spiritual application. So there's very many different levels of Scripture. So according to an ancient tradition, one can distinguish between two senses of Scripture, the literal and the spiritual. And the spiritual can be subdivided into the allegorical. For example, if you read Song of Solomon, it's full of allegorical implications. One of my favorite books of the Bible. The moral and anagogical senses. The profound concordance of the four senses guarantees all its richness to the living reading of Scripture in the church. So what is the literal sense? The literal sense is the meaning conveyed by the words of Scripture and discovered by exegesis, following the rules of sound interpretation. So all other senses of sacred Scripture are based on the literal. So you read a story, and you understand what's going on, not just because you read and you know how to read, but because you have studied who the person is that wrote it. You understand the time that they were living and where they were living, the culture that they were living in, brings to life that Scripture. Then there's the spiritual sense. Thanks to the unity of God's plan, not only the text of Scripture, but also the realities and events about which it speaks can be signs. Hey, Levon, Good morning in Pittsburgh. Hi, Tony. The allegorical sense, we can acquire a more profound understanding of events by recognizing in Christ. Thus, for example, the crossing of the Red Sea is a sign or a type of Christ's victory and also of Christian baptism. Good morning, Ted. So how did your family for me? And then there's the moral sense. The events reported in Scripture ought to lead us to act justly. As St. Paul says, they were written for our instruction. The anagogical sense, which is from the Greek anagog, it means leading. We can view realities and events in terms of their eternal significance, leading us toward our true homeland. Thus, the church on earth is a sign of the heavenly Jerusalem. That's an example. The early church fathers saw so much, for example, in Mary, not only who she is, but what she represents, you know, being the spouse of the Holy Spirit, you know, the perfect woman, the perfect human being, the most perfect human being that ever lived and ever will live. You know, Jesus was all human and all God, but excluding Jesus, of course. And the early church fathers just loved to look at her in that allegorical sense, in the anagogical sense too. There's a medieval couplet that summarizes the significances of the four senses. The letter, the literal in other words, the letter speaks of the deeds, the allegorical to the faith, the moral on how to act, and the anagogy on what our destiny is. Good morning, Martha. It is the task of exegetes to work according to these rules, toward a better understanding and explanation of the meaning of sacred scripture, in order that their research may help the church to form a firmer judgment. Of course, all that has been said about the manner of interpreting scripture is ultimately subject to the judgment of the church, which exercises the divinely conferred commission and ministry of watching over and interpreting the Word, capital W, the Word of God. Augustine, of course, we love Augustine. He certainly flourishes in all areas of interpreting Scripture. But I would not believe in the gospel had not the authority of the Catholic Church already moved me. Now we're going to talk about the canon of Scripture, this beautiful library of books, the Bible, that the Catholic Church discerned and determined what books should be in it and what books should not be in it. Now, 1,500 years into the history of the Church, Martin Luther took the Bible and eliminated several Old Testament books and one New Testament book, the book of James, which later was put back in the Bible. He didn't like the book of James because it was contrary to his theology, which was the teaching solo fide, by faith alone. We believe as Catholics that we need grace and to cooperate with grace. So as James said, it's not by faith alone that you are saved, but by works also. So it's the Catholic Church that canonized Scripture. It was by the apostolic tradition, with a capital T, that the Church discerned which writings are to be included in the list of sacred books. This complete list is called the Canon of Scripture. It includes 46 books of the Old Testament, 45 if we count Jeremiah and Lamentations as one, and 27 for the New. Now remember, in the Old Testament, the Catholics took on the Septuagint, saying, well, if that's what the Hebrews are reading, the Septuagint, then that's what we'll accept as the Old Testament. And why? It's because when you see Jesus quoting the Old Testament, he's quoting from that source, the Septuagint. Hey, Dan. Hi, Lisa. Hey, Stephen, aloha. So shall we read the books of the Bible, the library of the canon of Scripture, Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy, Joshua, Judges, Ruth, and then 1 and 2 Samuel, and 1 and 2 Kings, 2 Chronicles, Ezra, and Nehemiah, Tobit, Judith, Esther, 1 and 2 Maccabees, Maccabees, Job, Psalms, Proverbs, Ecclesiastes, the Song of Songs, the Wisdom of Solomon, the Book of Sirach, also called Ecclesiasticus, one of my favorite books of the Bible, Isaiah, Jeremiah, Lamentations, Baruch, Ezekiel, Daniel, Hosea, Joel, Amos, Obadiah, Jonah, Micah, Nahum, Habakkuk, Zephaniah, Haggai, Zechariah, and Malachi, the books of the Old Testament. And the books of the New Testament, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, the Acts of the Apostles, the letters of St. Paul to the Romans, 1 and 2 Corinthians, Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians, 1 and 2 Thessalonians, 1 and 2 Timothy, Titus, Philemon, the letter to the Hebrews, the letter of James, 1 and 2 Peter, 1, 2, and 3 John, and Jude, and Revelations, the Apocalypse. Isn't that beautiful just to read the library? Hey, Tony, good to have you here. You know, it's just beautiful that this great God of the universe communicated basically all we know, all we need to be saved in Scripture and through the interpretation, through the tradition of the Catholic Church. And remember, we read earlier that God the Father spoke only one word. What is that word? Remember? When God the Father spoke, the Catechism says He spoke just one word. What is it? Who is the Word of God? Jesus. So when God the Father speaks, He speaks just one word. And that's Jesus, His Son. So I guess we got to kind of, I'll read a little bit more and we'll let it go for the day. The Old Testament is an indispensable part of sacred Scripture. Its books are divinely inspired and retain a permanent value, for the Old Covenant has never been revoked. So if you love reading the Old Testament, which I really do, I like Louis L'Amour cowboy books. I've got a full set of 100 of his Western books. And I love the Old Testament because it's kind of a lot the same. It's just great stories of people that were flawed, yet called, yet redeemed, yet struggled, yet succeeded. The Old Testament is just a beautiful book. It's especially rich when you understand it shows in advance what will happen when Jesus comes. And if you love to study salvation history, Scott Hahn has a whole series of books on salvation history, what you see in the New Testament revealed in the Old Testament. He was, a Methodist in Methodist seminary studying for his doctorate, and he began to study the Old Testament in light of the New. And through that process, he began to see so many things that eventually caused him to become a Catholic. For example, there's just so much. For example, the Pope. You see him foreshadowed in the Old Testament when the king would have a prime minister and he would give him the keys to the kingdom, right? Just like Peter was given. And he gave him binding and loosing authority, just like Peter was given. We see that position in the church is a binding and loosing authority because Jesus said, I'm coming to bring the kingdom of God, and the kingdom of God is here, and that's called the church. And the Pope on earth is his prime minister. You also see in the Old Testament, for example, the queen was not the woman married to the king. The queen was usually the queen mother. That was the person that was held in the highest esteem in the realm other than the king. And we see that consistency with Mary, our mother, the queen, the mother of Jesus, and the standing that she has, the unique position Jesus has given her. So it's really beautiful to study the Old Testament. If you want to study about the Eucharist, you can't understand it fully without knowing its roots in the Old Testament. So I'll let you guys enjoy the sunrise a bit. I love it. About this time of the morning, I see Cindy getting up, and she's going and pouring herself a cup of coffee. I'm the one who makes the coffee in the morning because I get up so early. And it's so beautiful to see her up. And she goes and sits down on the couch, and she has a coffee cup that says, "Shh, don't talk. I haven't drank my coffee yet." I also bought a pair of socks. On the bottom, one of them says, "Shut up." And the other one says, "Go get me coffee," on the bottom of her socks when she's sitting there. So, shh, we don't want to interrupt Cindy while she's having her quiet time. In the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, Viva Cristo Rey, Haole Maka Hiki Ho, Happy New Year, God bless you guys.
Hey man, I don't want you to miss out on your free stuff at deepadventure.com. Go there and subscribe to our weekly email newsletter. You get free video content, including the Bear Wozniak radio show, video version on YouTube before it even airs on EWTN. And you can follow us on all of our social media. Go to deepadventure.com and subscribe. Get your free stuff. And if you're watching on YouTube, don't forget to press the subscribe button and ring that little bell. Don't miss out.